Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Brett, I got Kyle, and we have a very special guest, Jeremy Yuan. Welcome to the show, Jeremy.
Good morning, everybody.
He's our season closer.
Yes.
the stat man.
That's what I was just going to say is that
we brought in the closer. It's that time of year.
Yep, it's that time of year that we have Jeremy on, and Jeremy has brought to us, like he usually does, a bunch of statistics about the podcast this year. So I'll just pass it over to Jeremy. Jeremy, it's all yours.
Thanks for putting a lot of time into it.
It's almost like I walked in and it came to me.
Yeah, exactly. you are that good.
Can I say something? The intro you played is almost like new to me because I'm always listening to this in 1.2.
Oh,
so if you listen to it in 1.2, it has faster.
It has a different beat.
It's a little more upbeat. Yeah. A little higher pitched. And
so, well, speaking of intro, hopefully this is the last time you're going to hear that intro, and hopefully next year we'll introduce a new intro. Although this year we were kind of late on that, but so hopefully next year we'll get on it earlier.
So listeners, if Jeremy's a little sedated at the beginning, it's because the intro hasn't really launched him in yet. So yeah. Just give him time. Yeah, give him time. It'll pick up.
It was too soothing this time.
Yeah, it was like, what is this? So slow. Okay, so a year in review, 2024, Engage to Flourish. You guys had 40 episodes.
This is number 41.
This is number 41. Okay, so 40 episodes prior to this. 23 episodes with guests. 17 guests total, with 8 being first time. Mm. And on the podium, once again in first place, we have Trish, but she hasn't been on since March.
So I think it has an asterisk by it or something. Like,
well, it.
She just knew that she was going to get a job later in the year, so she had to load them all up at the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Coast it to the finish line.
So we need someone else to come take her off the podium next year.
Because really, she's only in first place with 3 appearances.
Yes.
So if there were any year to dethrone, this might have been the year, and yet nobody stepped up. So here we are.
But there was a lot of people that were close,
yes.
Right?
Yes, in second, we have a 4-way tie. Christian, Liz, Agnes, and Britt, all with 2. Mm.
So if you want to get on the podium next year, it's not going to be that hard.
Yeah, because Trish has a job now.
I don't know, that summer window, she might be asking every week to be on here.
All right, so it's been a good year for us. I mean... Generally, we've been having around 50 episodes. So this year, we must have been pretty busy to only release 40. It's been a pretty busy year for us at church. You know, we moved earlier to Mark Twain, and now we're in the process of transitioning again, where we're going to be in a new facility starting the first Sunday in January. So don't forget to not go to Twain the first Sunday in January, because we will be at 555 Stearns, right above Trader Joe's, starting at 10 o'clock. So don't forget to, after the new year, that we're going to be in a new location. So it has been a year of a bunch of transitions. A few of us went on missions to Africa. So it's been a pretty busy, full year. But before we get to stuff at church, I wanted to throw it out there to everybody. Has there been an episode that particularly stood out to you from this year? Of the podcast. Kyle said he had one, so I'll start with him so the rest of us can start thinking.
I have a moment from the podcast. It was recent. So it was when Brandon Hojo came on, and we were even preparing for that episode, and we were like, hey, should we like talk about throwing people under the bus and all these different things that he kind of gets annoyed with? Not annoyed, but it's like, okay, he kind of is our voice of reason. Okay, you guys have run that a little too far. You got to like stop using that. So there were 3 or 4, and we were like, ah, no, that's just going to be mean, or it just won't fit. But then as the episode was being recorded, man, it just got teed up for me. I couldn't resist. I'm like, I had to throw that in there. And then the funniest part was just seeing Brandon's face. He just like shook his head like gently and was like, oh my gosh, what am I in right now? So that was a fun memory for me.
to be honest, it's really hard to remember the episodes and what we've talked about or haven't talked about.
Because they're also good.
Sure.
and also wholesome and fulfilling.
That's because Brett is the one bringing all the content, so he can't remember what he said.
No.
And the rest of us aren't bringing anything memorable. So.
No, I just remember this year, I feel like there has been specific moments where I'm like, you just rambled and I don't even know what I said. Mm. So this year, I think I recognize, well, also it's been pointed out to me by a couple of people, it's like sometimes you ramble. And so I think I was more mindful of that this year. I did like the episodes. They're more recent, but when Brittany has come on, because it's been good conversation for us to have outside of the podcast too. So it's cool to see how, and with multiple people, I've had conversations that we've talked about stuff on the podcast and we've talked about outside of it. And so it's cool to see that translate to like, not just, oh, I listened to it and then that's it. It's being able to discuss and dive deeper into things or questions. And so that made it easier for us to understand what we were talking about because we were both there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think just the season that we've been in, it's been nice to, as much as it's been difficult, it has been nice to be open about it too and share and to receive support and encouragement and then just to help us navigate through it. In certain ways, some of the quote-unquote content that Damon says that I'm bringing is just me talking about life or what's going on. And so in some ways, I guess Engage to Flourish has been a form of therapy. <There you go. laughs> So maybe that's my excuse for rambling.
This is Brett's external processing platform.
All right, how about for you, Jeremy?
So for me, I would have to say the episode where Andy Carroll came on.
Oh, dang it, that's what I was going to say.
It's probably the only episode that I've listened to more than 3 times.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
Just to, you know, to listen and kind of like navigate where that conversation went and how it just splintered off into here and there. And it was a lot. And it was a lot to digest. And so, yeah, it was just interesting to kind of to listen to that. And, you know, also because we're related, right, by marriage. So it's interesting to get her perspective and her point of view on everything that she brought to the table in that episode and kind of digest that.
All right. Now I'm put on the spot because Jeremy took mine. But I'll go with. You know, I really appreciated when Agnes came on and talking about relationships.
That's what I was going to say.
You already had your turn.
That was just a moment.
All right, we'll come back to you. But, I you know, that conversation, I felt like we were originally going to, you know, it was just going to be a normal, regular episode. And then it ended up going like an hour and a half. And then we had to do a part two just because there was so much for us to talk about. I just really appreciated some of the conversation and just some of the insight that she had, you know, having been married for longer and just some of the discussion that we were able to have. I just really feel like there's just a lot of insight to be able to glean from. And it was just a really fun episode too. Anytime Agnes comes on, it's fun, you know, like when we do our dramatic readings, which we didn't do any of this year, but hopefully it will be back next year and we'll have some type of fun dramatic reading unless we get some feedback that says no.
Featuring Jeremy.
Sure.
Oh, see, I knew it. I knew you were a dramatic reading type of person.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Because, you know, those are Kyle's favorite episodes.
I'll just give up my seat that day. It's okay. I don't mind.
All right, Kyle, back to you since you only had a moment earlier.
Yeah, Agnes, that was mine. So, yeah, no, I thought it was the same thing. That episode went by so fast because there were so much good things happening that it was, I think, was that our only one that we've actually sat and recorded right after because we hadn't finished?
Yes.
Yeah. And so it was like, oh, it was interesting to experience it that way. Like we didn't feel like we had to contain it into a certain thing. It's like, there's still more we haven't got to. Let's just do another one. So, yeah, it was good.
I was trying to look at all the other ones, see if anything came up, but still drawing a blank. But shout out to all the guests that have come on. It's fun when we have somebody that comes on and brings a different perspective or just... It's always funny how nervous people can be to come on. And it's like, we're just having a conversation. It's all right. And everyone ends up doing a really good job and bring something new to the table. So encourage people to come out, come on the podcast, make it enough room so that I don't have to be on it. Give me a day off.
Yeah, we had 8 first-time guests this year, and, you know, we'd love to have, you know, 10 next year or more.
I would actually say we had 8.5, because I was just thinking, David was here when Carol was recording. So he was like, sir, I'm like, hey, dude, you should be on here too. And then we kind of like said it afterwards. He's like, oh, no. So I'm like, all right, David. So Carol.
He's a live audience.
Yeah, he wasn't live audience. So he was like a half a guest because he was here in the recording studio.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say half a guest because Dylan was on and he, before he'd only been on for like 2 seconds.
Oh.
All right. So. That's our kind of year in review for us from the podcast side, but it's also, like we said, it's been a really busy year at church. So wanted to see if anybody had some highlights from this year on the church side.
Well, when we sat down to record, I looked and Damon's wearing his Stronger Together shirt and I'm wearing my Burn Brighter shirt. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, that was how the year started. Those were our two themes that we were trying to emphasize and focus. And no, we did not plan that today. But I thought having...
I'm just glad I didn't wear my Burn Brighter shirt.
Yeah. We would have missed out on half of our thing. It was really good to see like the Kingdom classes and things like that, like push people to burn brighter, to go deeper, some different things we had on staff and elders and lay leaders. We did some things where we pushed harder and pushed further to kind of burn brighter, to be that city on a hill. And then just I think just more emphasis on the family issue, like the Stronger Together, that, yeah, we can do things separately. We can do things on our own, but we're actually stronger and it's actually better for us when we do it together. Even though it can be more challenging and more difficult, it is actually better and it makes us stronger.
How about you, Jeremy?
Well, I think the church as a whole, right? There were a lot of literal changes, right? Like moving to Twain, that whole process. I think as part of the worship team, right, just kind of navigating that, right, like a smaller stage and a smaller auditorium. Mm-hmm. But I think as a church, when we moved there, initially there was a lot of, for me, my family, right, there's a lot of questions like, oh, how are we going to make this work? Mm-hmm. And then I think as a church, we were able to adapt. And it's been a great space for the church, for the classes, for all the kids, and then even with the ability to have like the Kingdom classes earlier on, it was good. So I guess just that was good. And I think, I guess we'll talk about it later. But like, you know, looking forward, we're gonna do another move. Right, into 2025. So looking forward to that too.
Yeah, speaking of change, for me, this year has been good. I was able to step in and recombine the high schoolers with the middle schoolers and teach them on Sundays. And so it was an exciting adjustment, and it's been really fun, the amount of leaders, and just appreciate the high schoolers' buy-in and their willingness to be flexible with the changes that we've made with staff and for them, what that looks like. And so it's been good. It's definitely kept me more on my toes and sharpened up so that I could help lead and guide our leaders and the youth as well. And so I've just really appreciated the response and the ways that they have really dove into the stuff we're presenting, and it's really encouraging for me to see them and how serious they take their faith and just the choices that they make and who they are as people. And so I'm really excited to continue that as we go further into this. Well, I guess it'll be a full school year, but we finished this calendar year into the new year.
I think one of the big highlights for me this year and one of the changes that I was really excited about was the changes and shifts that we've had in multi-gen service. Mm. You know, so since the beginning of Catalyst, we've had a multi-gen service where we had everybody all together worshiping and listening to the message. And it's been something that we started with. And, you know, over the years, it kind of morphed into everybody's in service with all the kids, but it's an adult message. And sometimes the kids would get lost. And so we kind of wanted to reclaim what we initially wanted to do with multi-gen, where the message was more inclusive of everyone. So it's something that the kids could get something out of, the kids, something that the adults could get something out of, and just a time where we could all worship and learn together. And so over the course of the year, we've made some adjustments and shifts to multi-gen. And yeah, I just really feel like people have embraced it. You know, I want to give a shout out too to Dennis and Selena. So they're newer to our church, and they've been coming since we were in Africa. So since August. And recently I had a conversation with them, and they just said that, you know, as a new family to our church, they really appreciate multi-gen service and the ability for all of our people to worship and learn together. So they have a young daughter, and just being able to have that time with her and for them to be able to know that that's available and a place for them as we move forward and as she grows up, that we can all do that together. They said that's pretty special. And that was something that really attracted them to Catalyst, because their first Sunday was a multi-gen service. Mm. And you know, so kind of some, I guess, insider baseball. Sometimes we are a little concerned about people's first time being multi-gen, because in the past it's been a little hectic. And, you know, for a newcomer, sometimes it's like, what's going on? All these kids are running around, or it's a little distracting. And so it was nice to hear from them that, you know, their first time was a multi-gen and they really appreciated it. So that was pretty cool to me, just to see that perspective and, you know, how the shifts that we've made have been impactful for people. And yeah, I'm excited, because I think we're just getting started with multi-gen, and I think in the future it's going to be even better. So yeah, that was a real exciting change for me, and something that was really highlighted for me this year was just bringing back the spirit of what multi-gen was. And I that was something I really appreciated about this year. Anyone have anything else?
Can I add on to your multi-gen point? So when I first started coming to Catalyst, coming from a more traditional Baptist church background, right? I think my first multi-gen service experience, I was like, why are these kids here? Why are they so loud? It's so distracting. So that was my first perspective. and then it kind of morphed into like what you had started with, right? It was kids in the service, and then, but it was still an adult message. And so by that time I was a parent to younger kids. So basically for me, multi-gen service was just me being outside, like, and my kids would be running around just so they wouldn't be like too noisy in the sanctuary. And then,
so it was good that we had lunch those days, because there was a reason to come to church.
And then so now I really appreciate what it has become, what you guys have reclaimed and I guess turned it back into, because now my kids, their first, you know, they're not coming to me and going, hey, can we go outside? It's it's more like they're very willing and very interested and very engaged within service and wanting to be there and wanting to, you know, looking and hoping to participate even sometimes.
Oh, that's good to know. So now we know some people to call on.
Yeah,
I think they'd be more than willing to help participate. That's all.
No, thanks for that, Jeremy. Because you know, it's always good to hear feedback on some of the changes that we've made, and if they are good changes, it's nice to hear. And if they're not good changes, it's also nice to hear. So, you know, we can adapt and adjust. So yeah, thanks for that feedback. Kyle looks like he has something he wants to say. Or not.
No, I mean, I'm not sure. Well, I'm trying to decide. Well, the Kingdom classes, I think, were an important step for us, because I think that's something that we had been missing And, you know, we're, this last year was more of a of a beta. Let's try this out. Let's try the format. Let's try the time slot and different things. And yeah, I think there's some really positive things that have come out of it. And I think it's our responsibility to do more of the discipleship and pushing people forward in their faith and offering opportunities for that. So, yeah, we just actually decided yesterday that we're going to do more of that next year. So we're going to continue it. And I think we're actually going to have three sessions instead of just two. So there'll be a third session. But yeah, I think that, and then even at our meeting yesterday, just hearing some of the different ideas, like, oh, what else, what do you guys see as a possible class? And then hearing the different topics come from different people and seeing the different passions and stuff, it's like, oh yeah, we have a lot more to offer still. So I thought this year was a good intro to that, but I feel like, oh, there's going to be a lot more depth coming, and then I hope people take advantage of that and want to pursue more.
It's hard to remember all the stuff that happened this year too. I just I think I've really enjoyed this year, yeah, the way that we've responded to the different changes. And I really feel like coming off of last year's retreat into this year, there was just a lot of momentum within our church. And so I think from all the different things that took place, from like the missions trip and just the, I mean, you two are a part of it, but the group of people that went to, even like our Catalyst Cup, just all the different things we did together, it just felt like there was a different energy or spirit involved. And so, you know, our potlucks to whatever it is, I think I've experienced a little bit of like a freshness this year in all aspects, whether it's with the youth, with small group, with church stuff, with being on part of staff, just things like that. There's just seems like there was a little bit of a shift. And so I think that makes me more excited for this next year too. Like, okay, coming off of that into what we're able to do this year. And then now with more possibilities, with God opening more doors, it's like, okay, I wonder what it's going to look like next.
Yeah, I think one of the things that as everyone's talking that I feel like is highlighted is just God's grace in how these transitions have been made, right? So one of the things that we were thinking about doing was getting our own facility. But then now looking at the facility that we are going to be moving into, it's much, much smaller in terms of like auditorium size than what Stanford was, right? So even just thinking about how we moved from Stanford to Twain, which is a more intimate setting, to now this new setting, just the way that that's happened, I think it would have been way big, or
way, I don't even know.
Yeah, the shock of going from Stanford directly into the new facility would have been huge, right? So just God's grace in moving us in that direction, or even providing Twain as a space where, you know, there's a nice outdoor courtyard where it just really felt like we were able to spend more time together after service and not feel like, oh, we got to get out of there quickly, or there's no place for the kids to run around. It's like, oh, the kids can run around, the parents can mingle more and hang out. And people really took advantage of that this year, I feel like. And I felt like, just kind of like Brett was saying, the momentum from the retreat into the move to Twain and now into the move to the new facility, I'm really excited about some of the things that are coming forward. So speaking of that, it's almost 2025. 2025 is coming in less than 2 weeks. So just wanted to see if we can throw out some, and I'm going to throw this to Kyle because he's the one that gives permission on what we're allowed to release and what we're allowed to say. So 2025 is coming up, and there, like we just said, there's going to be a big change. We have our own facility for the first time, where we can meet on Sunday mornings as well as during the week in the same place. And so that provides a lot of different opportunities, a lot of different, at the same time, a lot of different challenges that we've had to face. And, you know, personally, I just really appreciate Kyle because he's been spending a ton of time over there to try to help get things ready for our move and our first service on January 5th. So just, yeah, Kyle's been working his butt off over there, and it's going to be good. So I just really appreciate Kyle. But so Kyle, would you like to share some of the things that we have to look forward to in this upcoming year?
I think there's, like you said, there's challenges ahead of us, but I think there's a lot of opportunity too, because we don't have to take down. It is our space. We can do what we want with it. And so there's a lot more freedom, like in the kids space that we have right now. It's going to be, things that we can do and not just worry about taking it down, and we can leave it up. And so after service, the kids can have a lot of fun there. And I don't know, there's a lot of opportunity, but we're going to have to see things differently. So like having the courtyard right now, the grass, it's awesome and it builds community, but now we have to find a way to carry that same heart and the same aspect to this new place. And part of that is just, well, we don't have to, it's our space, so we don't have to get out right away. So we can mingle, we can do this and we can do that. But yeah, it does present some different challenges. I do want to clarify for people, because I know some people have heard and it's been mentioned that the desire is to expand the main sanctuary area. It won't just be a sanctuary going forward, but it'll be midweek things too for used. But just for clarification, that can't happen until we get extra space. So because we're going to lose some children's space. So I know some people have brought up questions about that, but totally aware of that, and that's an absolute priority for the children. And so we're talking about expanding, but we know that there's certain things that have to happen. But we feel like the Lord is already moving in that there's going to be things that align and open up for us. So that's really cool. The thing that's really kind of standing out to me really is that we're going to step into that's new is having these different ministries that are up there. So just for instance, last week, that was the week you guys were having your family ministry meeting over there. And I was doing stuff, and then I went out to the elevator to bring something downstairs, and then a guy came in, and then he was asking, are you part of Hope Chapel? And I'm like, oh, no, we're part of Catalyst. We're going to be in the big room. And long story short,
did he ask you you're part of Hope Chapel for a specific reason?
Yeah, because he... Why?
Wait, why? Why, Damon?
You'll just have to... keep one.
Like, is there something more to that? Now I want to see where you're going. I'm going to put you on the spot, bro.
Please explain.
Brett, you want to help me out?
You ran yourself into this one. Yeah, you. Because you're so wise, Kyle.
So full of hope.
I made it awkward enough
for
David. Sorry. He's feeling the pressure.
Keep going. Sorry. I'll tell you after.
So, but we ended up finding out he's with a ministry called Parable. And then he just started talking. I started talking to him, and we know Susanna. She's come to our church and done some things. And he's at a couple of different schools, and he's like,
You need to explain what Parable is, because I don't think anyone's heard of what Parable is.
They used to be Crew, right?
High school crew.
Mm. And so they this group of people split off from that. So Crew didn't change their name, but they split off and wanted to do things a little bit more unique, I guess. So they wanted to have their own organization. Mm. So they minister and they set up Christian clubs at high schools. And so just talking to him, and he was talking to the whole group, he goes, yeah, if you guys ever want to have people come out and minister, we give out pizza and we have a little message. So you can just serve pizza, or you can come just pray a blessing over the kids. You can interact with them. And, you know, kids love having people out there. So it just in a 5-minute interaction by passing people in the hallway, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a new opportunity we've never had access to, or maybe a couple people might have known about, but I think there's going to be more and more of those types of things. I know Pastor Barry was just meeting with Pastor Dave from Hope, and he goes out on Saturdays to, I think, the Seal Beach area, and then he preaches, and he has his own unique style of how he does it, and then they try to drum up conversations, and it's not like in-your-face type of thing, but they want to generate curiosity, and he's been doing that for years and years, and he has a really cool method where they do a little training before they go out, And then they go out and then they debrief about it. So just things like that are going to be very much more in our, not in our face, but in just available to us. And so I think we're, if we had to start all those things and do them on our own, it's, we just don't have the capacity. But having our space be connected with these other organizations that are already doing different types of things, it's going to be really cool. I think a lot of people are going to find a lot of life in those things.
So what are some of the other organizations? Because you mentioned Parable. What are some of the other ones that are up there?
Well, YWAM, which we've had interactions with. So YWAM Long Beach, they also use space there. And then Navigators, they do stuff on Long Beach State campus. So then there's college ministry stuff they do. And the same thing, we met, it was me and Henry, I think, ran into a guy early on when we were doing stuff there. And he did the same thing. Yeah, if you have kids or you have people that want to come out, like a lot of times when he said their method is, they go out and they don't have you do anything the first time. They just want you to watch and observe how they do it. And then if you feel like, oh yeah, I want to like step more into that, then okay, come out again and we'll help you. They don't want it to be a bad experience. They want it to be where you understand what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they're doing it. And I'm like, man, this is really, it has a lot of different avenues for different age groups and different types of interest.
All right, thanks.
Is that enough info for now?
I mean, that's a lot of really cool information about the new facility that we're going to be moving into. You know, I think that's something that we've been talking about doing in the future too, is our messaging and improving our communication about what's going on and how things are moving or changes that are coming up. So, you know, I think that this podcast can be an avenue for that, where we are able to share a little bit more behind the scenes or some of the things that we're thinking and some of the opportunities that are coming up. So, you know, it is an exciting time for us. We are getting our own facility for the first time, and it's going to open up doors and avenues that we're going to need to change some of our mindsets, right? So it's not going to be just a Sunday morning type thing at Catalyst anymore. There's going to be more opportunities during the midweek. There's going to be more opportunities on the weekends, even after church or before church, just because we don't have to, you know, start at a certain time, or we don't have to leave at a certain time. We get it all the time. So, you know, there are going to be some mindset shifts that we need to start thinking about. But I think it's just going to be really exciting, because as the minds and mindsets start shifting, it's really just incorporating the Lord more in our week, as opposed to just kind of, for most people, thinking about Sunday mornings.
So, Jeremy, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on either excitements or apprehension or whatever about moving to this new facility. Cause you know, we're on staff, so we talk about it and we chew on different things, and we see a lot of, there's not, I'd say issues, but there's barriers or there's things that we're going to have to learn to overcome. And so, yeah, what are your thoughts moving into a new space?
I think there's a lot of optimism. Also a lot of question marks, right? Like when we first visited, right? Just from a practical standpoint, right? It's a big thing of stairs.
Yeah.
Very wide mouth at the top, right? Yeah. Like, you know, is that going to be difficult to navigate for like little kids and elder adults, right?
Oh, there's an elevator too,
right.
That's
yeah.
helpful, but
and then you know, like the main room that we will call the sanctuary, right? Yeah. has a lot of exits, has a lot of entrances, and then just a lot of blind corners, you know, from a practical standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I think also with that comes a lot of optimism in that, like what you guys were saying, right? It's a place that the church will call their own, and then we can mold it and shape it into what we want it to look like, and what, you know, use it to the best of, you know, its capabilities. I was going to say, because I think you made an announcement this past Sunday, mm-hmm. right? And you said, are there any questions?
Yeah.
Not, are there any concerns?
right.
Because I'm sure a lot of people, right, have a lot of questions, have a lot of initial concerns.
Sure.
But I think it's, I'm going at it with cautious optimism. Right? Yeah. I think, you know, the vision is there, and you know, moving forward, it, you know, it will become, you know, a place that Catalyst can call home. Yeah. Because okay, so I sorry, it's off the dome.
Yeah, go for it.
I had met with Pastor Barry this past week. Actually, no, a couple days ago. And so I was telling him, right, the church that I came from, right, we have it. The church is separated into different buildings mm-hmm. off of one street, mm-hmm. right? So it's not all connected. It's not all uniform. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the buildings was previously like a meat distribution plant or mm-hmm. something. So they took that and then they made it into a church building, mm-hmm. right? And that was, you know, fully operational and it worked. Mm-hmm. So I, for me, you know, just going back to the point, like I think it's cautious optimism of mm-hmm. of what Catalyst can take this space and transform it into. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, no, I think that's good because I think it's healthy to have some caution, and because we don't know, and even us as staff, we know it's going to be a development period, so it'll be good at the beginning. It'll be good enough, so to speak, to meet there. But then there's going to be things that we're going to have to improve on, and there's going to be things that we aren't aware of that we're going to have to adjust to. So, so feedback is appreciated. Do it with grace and an open mind to, you know, sometimes addressing one concern creates another concern. So it's trying to navigate those types of issues. But oh yeah, there's a lot still that we don't fully understand or grasp, but we have ideas. And so I'll talk to you after we're done recording about something about the stairs and get your input okay. on that, because that's on my mind right now. I think it's I think the thing that gives me the most peace about going to this place, because it isn't ideal. There's a lot of things that this just isn't ideal. There's even as we saw it and we were pursuing it, the thing that overrode all of that was God was leading us to it. Mm-hmm. And feeling, and now like what I was describing earlier about those different organizations, it's like, oh, we're here for a certain reason. There's some kind of synergy between all those groups and us that's going to unlock something. Mm-hmm. And even some things that Pastor Dave has told Pastor Barry about us stepping into this facility, like we're supposed to be there to unleash something too. So I don't know how it's going to play out, but I know that when it's God's plan, it's the best for us. So I'm the same type of personality or same type of approach. I have a little bit of cautious optimism. Like I feel good about it, but I still don't understand how all of it's going to play out.
Yeah. I want to encourage and reassure the rest of our church family, because being a part-time staff, I get to hear certain things. But to be honest, I have little to nothing to do with getting this new building. And so I want to encourage everybody that even though it's like, yay, we got this new building, and it can seem like we finally got our own building, it's really only the beginning. And so, you know, the elders, the board, the rest of the staff, the people higher level than me, they're working their butts off, and you know, every concern and question that we all have, I think they're all valid. But you know, the board and the team that was searching for a building, and the team that's thinking about how we can change it and design it and do all that, they're thinking of all those same concerns and questions. And so I think this is just another step of walking into what God has for us together, right? And so I promise you they're doing their best to figure out and making it the best for everybody. And so I hope everyone can be excited, even though there is, you know, questions or, okay, what is this going to look like or whatever. It's going to be a process. And I really trust the people that have gotten us to this place, and to see that their hearts are really focused on, oh, this is where God wants us to be, then it's bigger than just, can we make it look nice or what can we do? It's like, okay, we're being obedient. And to see our highest level of staff and leaders to be that obedient, then I think it gives me more promise and I have more peace about, okay, whatever it is, like it'll be, and I trust that God has something for it. And so, yeah, it's new. It's for us, it's something to adjust, but I think it's part of embracing that aspect of it. It's not a finished building where everything is, you know, brand new and it looks like, yeah, it looks like a modern, you know, home. It's going to be a process. And so I think part of the beauty of it will be, now we get to see what it looked like in the beginning and then what it looks like when, as God continues to lead. And so I think that's more of the mindset to have, because I think when you think of, we got a new church building, it sounds like, you know, whatever picture comes into your head, I'm sure, or I'm not sure, but there's a high probability that what we have does not fit that picture, but it doesn't mean that it won't become that picture or it won't transform into something that is greater than the picture that we had. And so I hope we can all come into it with the same heart and I move forward with it, because I'm excited for what it could be.
Well, I think it is a reminder too that the church isn't the building, right? And I think that's what we're going to see, is that even though there's not these things, certain things aren't ideal, I think we're going to really experience the Lord in different ways and in a impactful way, that it's like, oh yeah, we're supposed to be here, and you know what? This isn't the best, but this is the right place, and I'm confident that this was the Lord's hand in it.
Yeah, sorry. I think with this huge change, I think there are certain other things that the Lord is calling us to change, and one of those that we've been talking a little bit about is like the false harmony thing. And you know, with all these changes that are going on, I know there's going to be people with concerns or people with just different issues that come up with change. And so I think during the season, it's an opportunity for us to experience what real harmony is, where everyone's able to share how they're feeling and at the same time be heard, and then come together and say, this is how we're going to address it, as opposed to how, you know, in the past, a lot of times it's been, oh, I have this, I'm just going to shove it under the rug. And then until it gets to the point where, oh, I'm just fed up and I'm going to leave, or something like that, right? This is going to be an opportunity for us to really step into God's unity as we navigate some of these challenges and concerns together. And I think a lot of the momentum that we built with things like Stronger Together will help us to get there, you know. And we had a positive experience in this first transition to Twain. I know a lot of people had concerns about moving from Stanford, where we've been for 17 years, to Twain, and I think for the most part, it's been a very positive experience. So, you know, with all the concerns that we have about moving to the new facility too, I just hope people will draw on the and trust that the Lord had his hand in it, just the same way that he had his hand in us moving to Twain, and how that's been a good experience and how this is going to be a good experience also. All right, so before we sign off, Kyle, do you want to kick us off with some of the themes that we can release for 2025? Since, you know, I've been jumping the gun, I just want to make sure that I don't release something that I'm not allowed to release.
Week, right?
Yes, that's why I threw it out to you.
I don't know. Are we supposed to be? Well, I think Barry actually might be adding one more. So it's really a theme that started. We can release it because Barry's talked about it in his messages too. It's the theme of wholehearted surrender. And I think that's part of going into this new facility. It's like, okay, are the inconveniences or the things that aren't ideal, is that really that important? Is it a heart issue that you're struggling with? Because some things are, and that they need to be addressed. But sometimes it's just, there's things in our heart that haven't been surrendered to the Lord. So that's just one example with the facility, but there's in relationships and different things like that, we need to learn how to surrender to the Lord. And then the other part is bringing things to the light. And I know, Jeremy, you were at one of the leaders' gatherings where that was a different type of feel and a different thing that a different way of doing a catalyst meeting or even just bringing things out. It was like, oh, this has a different feel. And so I know that's going to be something that's going to be brought out more. And I can release this too. We just signed our contract for the Hilton. We're going to have a retreat this coming year. So we're back on the every other year thing. So
Labor Day weekend,
we'll be building up towards that, and we'll have another retreat. But those are a couple of the things. Just like we did Burn Brighter, Stronger Together, those aren't just going to disappear, but those were themes or emphasis, and those are, I think, things to be built on. But we're going to have these other emphasis. Is it emphases or emphasis?
Emphases, I think.
Emphases.
Emphases.
Emphases. That's what I was going to go with.
I mean, those seem like pretty heavy themes. Jeremy, since you were at one of the leaders' gatherings where we talked about that, can you share a little bit about your experience? Like, did you feel like it was super, like, heavy or super, like, how was that for you?
So, for me, I think to be a part of it and just to see how, I guess, open everyone was, open and willing to share and willing to even go beyond that and support each other, pray for each other. I think it was very freeing to kind of like just be there and have no emotional baggage or any spiritual baggage. It was just, you know, being there. And I think I shared this when I was on the second day, right? Just to, I think after, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes of being there the first day, is just like going all in, right? And being fully invested in all the things, all the activities that we went through during that meeting. It was very, very freeing.
Yeah, because I wanted you to share some of that, Jeremy, because I think sometimes when we hear some of these themes, it feels like, oh man, what am I going to have to share? What? But really it's so that the Lord can set us free from some of the things that we've been holding on to, some of the baggage that we've had. And the enemy doesn't want us to be set free. So he wants to, you know, feed us this information or these lies that, oh, this is going to be too hard, or this is going to be too shameful, or this is going to be X, Y, Z, to hinder us from getting to that point where we're set free. And I feel like that's part of what the Lord has for us and for our people, is he wants to set everyone free so that they can be free to be who God made them to be, right? And so it might seem difficult, it might seem heavy, it might seem just in hearing some surrender, oh man, what is that? What's that going to be? Bringing things to the light, oh, what's that going to look like, right? But really the intent is so that the Lord can be in those places and that we can invite him into those places and that we can be set free so we don't have to carry all those things around ourselves, because we weren't made to carry those things around, and we can just really be free to be all that God created and called us to be.
So in 2025, Brett will be sharing a lot about bringing things to the light and wholehearted surrender. So just get ready for it.
I mean, I guess I'll have to, but.
I'm saying that tongue in cheek, and in this podcast, we're going to be having a lot more of those kind of conversations.
For sure. And I think it sets the right tone or mindset, because church, and not just the building, but church should be the place where you're able to bring your full self to the table. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times it gets mixed up, or just from the routine of things, that's like church becomes another thing where you're supposed to look like you have it all together, or you have it all figured out. But I feel like if you had to label it on one side or the other, it's actually a place for broken people to come, because that's where God is able to heal you, you're able to be met by community, you're able to get life that you don't get outside of a relationship with God. And so I think some of it is just that, you know, we have stepped into a place now where, I don't want to say we're addressing those things, but it's like specifically where you're just trying to find out what's wrong with you, let's fix it. It's more like, can we bring all that we are to the Lord and present ourselves in that way? And are we open to allowing him to like essentially shine his light on us so that we can become, you know, fulfill our mission of our church? Really, mm-hmm. that's what how I see it. It's
right.
Yeah, maybe there are some things we have to get rid of or habits we have to break or tough things that has happened into our lives, but church should be the place where you feel comfortable or you want to go there to do that. Because if you're not doing it there, what's going to make you want to do it outside of that, right? Without a community that loves you, without a God that is there for you, that's the place where I think Jesus wants and God wants to meet us at. And so I just encourage everybody that, yeah, even though it may sound intimidating, like Jesus says, come as you are, right? It's not about having it all together before you get to church. Yes, we have to work on things and grow and step into the things that God is calling us outside of it. It's not only for Sunday mornings, but if there are things going on, you have people, you have a people, you have brothers and sisters that want to walk with you in those things, want to encourage you and want to walk with you in the light and help each other surrender in what we need to. And I think I've experienced it myself. And so, I would just encourage people that, you know, whether it's hopefully it is at Catalyst or if it's at another church, like that's where the ministry, part of the ministry happens and it's supposed to happen. And so don't be too scared. Don't be too intimidated.
Yeah, I think that's one of the enemy's biggest tools that he uses. It's the lie that you can do it on your own. You can just work it out. Like, just, you know what the issue is. Because then it's like he's almost telling you, yeah, that's the issue. But he wants you to just hunker down and do it by yourself. And then that's when you don't get the victory over that. Because it comes from the Lord, but he desires us to do it in community. So I think that's one of our biggest challenges this coming year is finding ways and opportunities and avenues that we can get people into those spaces where they can do that with each other.
You just said all that I wanted to say, Kyle.
I know. You pointed to me first, so too bad. Mr. Hope Chapel. All right, Brandon, that's one of our new ones. All right, Hope Chapel.
All right, well, you know, it's been a great year for us as a church, and there's a lot of awesome things that we are looking forward to in 2025, you know, and it's going to start right away. We're going to, first Sunday in 2025, we're going to be at our new facility for our first service, first time we're going to be able to worship all together. It's a great time to invite friends and family that don't go to church, invite them to our new building, because, you know, we're an adult now, we're 18 and we're moving into our own place, and we're going to have a lot of new stuff in store for people. And, but at the same time, we're not going to lose who we are.
Mm-hmm.
With all of these new things and these changes, we're not going to lose who we are. We're still going to be Catalyst. Like Kyle said earlier, it's not the building, it's the people. And, you know, we have some pretty amazing people. I say it all the time. We have some amazing people at our church. So, just thanks again for being loyal listeners. We've had a great year on the podcast as well. Thanks to Jeremy for coming on and sharing with us some of his highlights from this year and some of the things he's looking forward to for next year. Thanks, Jeremy.
We had 7 or 8 new listeners, so we need some more new listeners for 2025. So if you're a listener and you haven't been on yet, reach out.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, am I allowed to call out people?
You can call people.
Well, after you call out Larissa, then you can call out whoever you want.
Larissa has been on. She was on last year.
I know, but she needs to come on again.
I asked her if she wanted to come today.
Oh, yeah?
And she said no.
She will only come on with Roxanne.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, they'd probably be down to come and chop it up with you guys. But yeah, the person that
I
want to call out is Ruth's son.
Oh.
Because casually, we were sharing, like, about our week.
Uh-huh.
And then just casually, she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I helped invent Healthy Choice frozen foods. I was like, that is so interesting. Did you know that?
Okay, she was at my table for the emotionally healthy relationships class. And so we would eat lunch together a lot of times and just talk. And then she would be telling us about food stuff. And she used to be a food scientist. And she was telling us all this stuff where I'm like, I don't know if I want to eat processed food anymore, and which is probably good anyways. But yeah, no, she has some interesting stories about food.
Very interesting person.
I always like Ruth's son at the chili cook-off because... Well, one, she likes my chili, but yeah, sometimes she'll because she was a food scientist, she'll go to the different chilies and say, oh, I taste this, I taste this, I taste this.
Wow.
So then one year when I did it, she's like, did you put chocolate in it? Did you put this in it? Did you put this? Like, I was like, how did you know? She's like, I'm a food scientist. I could taste it all. She's like, that's why I like yours, because you have a lot of different ingredients in it and I can taste them all.
She is one of the most interesting people. Yeah. Once you see all this depth of her and these different avenues where she totally flipped to a different like industry, different thing. Yeah, like, wow, that's so cool.
All right. I don't know if Ruth
I was not ready for that one. I'm like, okay, all right.
I don't know if Ruth listens to the podcast. Yeah. So if you're a listener out there, you can go bug her, and maybe one day she'll say, how come everybody keeps asking me to come on the podcast? And maybe that will encourage her to come on. Mm-hmm. So we will reach out to her and see if she's open. Is there anyone else you want to shout out?
That's all for now.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Jeremy, for coming on. We appreciate you. And
all that hard work you put in to get ready for today, too. Appreciate it.
Statistics.
I do think we need to have you come on again on a non year in review one, just a regular.
Well, he already volunteered for the dramatic reading, so.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you know when I'm out of town. You can come fill in for me.
All right. Well, thanks again for making 2024 so great. We really appreciate all the listeners out there, and we appreciate all your feedback. And again, if you have not been on the show yet and you would like to, we are always looking for new guests, and we're always looking for guests in general. So if you've been on to, I know Trish, you're working, but you can still come back on even though you've been on the podium multiple years in a row.
And we are flexible with trying to match your availability, so it doesn't have to be midweek, midday.
Although I do think next year Christian wants to overthrow you, Trish, but we'll see. So thanks again for 2024. We're looking forward to 2025. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.